Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Now today, number six, the sixth step, we're going to deal with honor. Honor is the sixth step, and we're going to talk about honor. Now, in John 5, verse 44, Jesus said this. He said, "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the what? Honor that cometh from God only." So there is an honor that comes from God only. Would you tell your neighbor that? There is an honor that comes from God only. Now, before we go any further, I heard an old country preacher say one time, "I won't go another further." So I won't go another further until we talk about what the word honor means. It's defined as appreciation, esteem, to view someone in favorable regard or to respect. That's honor. Biblically, it's much deeper and heavier than that. So I want to give you the biblical meaning of honor. And the biblical meaning of honor, it is a delegation of authority. When something's been delegated, that means it's been passed down, it's been given. It goes hand in hand with accountability. Something has been given to me. And in this case, honor is authority has been given to me. Authority has been given to me. And being that authority plays such an important role with honor, let me define authority. Biblical authority is simply put, the right to command and be obeyed. The right to command and be obeyed. The right to speak and have what you say. Come on, somebody. How many of you believe that Jesus, when he got up from the dead, was given all authority in heaven and in earth? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. I believe that with everything in me, that Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth, and I believe that he is the authority in all things. Therefore, all legitimate authority comes from God. All legitimate authority comes through Christ, my Lord. Now, when you recognize honor as a delegating of authority, then you see that the only way that I can walk in God-ordained authority is that I submit myself to his authority. Authority, the right to command and be obeyed. So then when you look at the definition of honor and you look at the definition of authority, if you put the two together, and I'll be done with defining things, when you put the two together, then honor looks something like this. It is the delegating of the right to command and be obeyed. So if you're here today and you honor your mother and father, then you give them the right to command and be obeyed. How many of you were raised by parents that required you operate in honor? You had to give them the right to speak and be obeyed. Say amen. Amen. If you were raised in a home where honor was not required, would you say, "Oh me"? Okay, there's a few of you almost said, "Oh me." All right. God sees honor so important and so vital that in his word, we see that it begins at home. So let's go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. And let me show you how that God has called honor to begin at home with a child honoring their mother and father. Now, when you first hear this, you may be here saying, "Man, why did I come to church today? I don't want to hear nothing about no honor." Oh, yes, you do. Believe me, when you hear it all, you'll want to know all there is to know on this topic, because we can't receive from anybody we won't honor. We can't receive from God if we won't honor God and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, if your parents sit next to your child today, you want to make sure they read verse number 2. Amen. So let's read verse number 2 out loud together. Ready? Read. "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Now, what does that mean, the first commandment with promise? It means that of all God's commandments, when you look at just the 10 commandments alone, honoring your father and mother, this was the first commandment that God gave that came attached with a reward. It came attached with a recompense. It came attached with a promise. Now, parents, how many of you have ever given your children a commandment or an assignment or an objective, and if they did it, you had a reward waiting on them? You offered a reward if they got the job done. Anybody ever do that? Sure you have, because you love the leverage. So maybe you say, listen, guys, y'all get this done, and we'll go have ice cream. Don't get this done and ice cream, all right? God said, this whole honor thing is so important that I'm going to make it the first commandment in the Bible that if you do it, it comes with a promise. And here's the promise in verse 3, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. So God says to the children that grow up honoring their mother and father, God said, I'm going to give you a long life. Hello, somebody. A long life, and you're going to have a long good life if you honor your mother and father. Now, any parent that loves their child wants their child to be well with their child. Then if I want it to be well with my child, then I've got to make sure that my child understands the importance of honor. And honor begins at home. And if our kids don't grow up understanding how to honor mom and dad in the home, then they're not going to honor the teacher at school. They're not going to honor the coach in the gym. They're not going to honor authority, right? So God said, they got to get this thing down so it begins at home. So God says to the parent, if you want it well with your child, teach them to honor. And then to the child that wants to live a good life, they say, man, the way to the good life is to honor my mother and father. What God is doing here is he is showing you the importance of getting this honor thing down. And church, if you ask my opinion, what's wrong with society? I would tell you outside these walls, we got an honor issue. Folk just don't honor folk. And I'm going to show you in the Word today that Jesus taught that honor goes up, it goes to God. But not only do I honor God and those that are in legitimate authority, but I honor my peers, I honor my neighbor, I honor my coworker, I honor my relatives, I honor the people sitting next to me. There's an honor that has to go up, there's an honor that goes out, and there's an honor that goes down the chain of command. God has called us to honor all men, for all men were made in his image. The book of James says, how can you bless God with your mouth and then use the same mouth to curse a man that was made in the image of God? God says, all men are worthy of respect. All men are worthy of honor, and we should all esteem others higher than we do ourselves. That's missing outside these walls, because in today's society, folk want to size you up before they decide whether or not they're going to honor you. They want to judge you by everything you can possibly imagine, when God has said, you know what? I am God. I created man in my image, and I'm such a big God that I made the one race, the human race, very diverse, because there's no way I could begin to express the image of who I am in just one ethnicity. So God made man very diverse, male and female, every shade, every height you can imagine. And God is saying, this man that I've created in my image represents who I am, and God's called us to honor all men. Can you say amen to that? I honor authority in the chain of command. I honor those above me that have legitimate authority. I honor those beside me. I honor those beneath me. Honor. There's a respect that we've been called to give all men. Now, the area of your life where you're not honoring God, that area of your life, he can't honor you. Now, the honor topic of delegated power, delegated authority, delegated favor, delegated influence, this isn't something that God just injected at some point in human history. No, it was his plan from the very beginning. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And as you turn there, I want to remind you of the beginning. When you look at God's plan for man, when he created man, this is going to mess around and stir me up. I just feel it. When God created man, Psalms 8 gives the record that there was this witness, which I believe was an angel, that saw the creation of man, and it left this one in awe. And he made this statement about the creation of man in Psalms 8. And I know you're going to 1 Samuel. I'm setting you up where I'm heading. But in Psalms 8, verse 4, the Bible says this, that there was one that saw the creation of man and made this statement, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And here was the question about man. And I believe it was an angel that asked this question. And he said, "For thou hast crowned him with glory and honor." So there was no question when God created the universe. There was no question when God created the animal kingdom and all things. But when God made man and then crowned him with glory and honor, one said, "Wait a minute, God, what is man that you would give him honor? What is man that you would give him glory, that you would crown him with honor?" Crown means I've been empowered. I've been placed in a position that God positioned man in his authority. Well, when you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God created the heavens and the earth, and he put man in the garden, he gave man dominion. He gave man power over the earth. We've come so far in the fall that we don't see the author's original intent. That when God made man, he made man. That's you. He made man to have dominion. It was the first gift that God gave man. I believe it's in us to want to have dominion. I believe that's why, you know, your first three words after birth were mama, daddy, mine. Because from a child, it's in our mind, I should have authority over something. That's mine. Stay out of my room. That's mine. It's stuff that parents have to coach and teach because it's like it came with the package and we didn't even teach it. We didn't teach our children to be selfish. We didn't teach our children to say mine. We didn't practice and say, "Gagagugu, say mine, say mine." It's in us to want to have authority over something, and we get excited the first time we get our own anything. Why are y'all so quiet? Because God made man to have dominion. And so when he put man in that garden and gave him dominion, he gave him dominion over the garden, over the trees, all but one. He gave him dominion over everything that flies, creeps, crawls, swims. Man was given dominion as long as man honored the one that put him in that garden and gave him that position. Man was the HMIC head man in charge on planet Earth. Do you realize there is nothing in this earth that God has ordained to have power over you? Do you know there is nothing in this earth that should have you bound or addicted to anything? Have you ever thought about if you're addicted to a drug or if you're addicted to drink or you're addicted to something that you inhale or smoke, all of that stuff was grown from the earth and God made you to have dominion over the earth. There shouldn't be nothing coming up out of the earth that has you bound because God gave you power. You might say, "Well, I can't quit this. I can't quit that. I've tried to quit this." You can quit that because you've been given authority over everything in this earth, including the enemy. God didn't make you subject to the devil. God didn't make the devil lord over you where he's dictating the health of your marriage, dictating your welfare, dictating your prosperity, dictating the health of your emotion. No, we've got to stop making excuses that the reason this failed is because the devil is busy and the reason this happened is because the devil is busy. No, you've got to get out of that type of language. Satan has no authority over you. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." When Jesus uttered those words in Luke 10:19, and he said, "Behold, I give you power," the Greek word there is exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, exousia. And the reason I define it in the Greek is because the word power shows up twice. Jesus says, "I give you power over all the power of the devil." But in the Greek, it's not the same word, power, power. In the Greek, it reads like this: "I give unto you exousia over all the dunamis of the devil." Dunamis, D-U-N-A-I-M-S, is the Greek form of our English word dynamite. It's power indeed in manifestation. But Jesus says, over Satan's power, I give you jurisdiction. That means, yes, he has power, but you have the jurisdiction. In other words, unless you give him place, he can't operate in your life. That's why the Bible says, give no place to the devil. I've got the power. So quit saying the devil's busy. Lay his scaly tail off. Come on, somebody. See, we look at things that God created and never intended for them to have dominion over us. But as we get away from God, like Adam did in sin, then we lose the authority that God gave us. And then things begin to get over us and on top of us. And we're under things we were never intended to be under. All because we've gotten out from under the true authority, which is God. There are certain people you would never let your children, let watch your children. Listen, they may be sitting next to you, but you can still say amen. Baby, let's go on a date. Okay, let's go on a date. Well, I can't find a babysitter. Surely there's somebody, and then she names my, oh, no. Man, I wouldn't let them watch my dog, much less my children. Because you recognize that when you leave the house, whoever's babysitting, whoever has the care of your children, you have to be able to delegate that authority. And you need to know that your authority is going to flow through that one that's given care down to your children. And if you can't trust your authority in your home when you're not present, then you don't let that person have delegated authority. You wouldn't let just anybody drive your car, would you? No, because you know some folk ain't going to listen to you once they get behind the wheel. And for some of you, that's been your own kids. You had to say, look, now here's the keys in my car. I catch you doing this, that, and the other. You ain't gonna have my car no more. We understand this because we don't just give our stuff, our children, our cars over to anybody. We don't let just anybody live in our house. Well, then you need to recognize what it's like being God. God said, I can't give you that aspect of my kingdom because you wouldn't honor my authority if I gave you oversight of it. Lord, I want to go to the next level. God said, I want you to go to the next level, but I can't trust you there because you wouldn't honor my authority if I put you there. The same standard that you hopefully have when it comes to your children and your assets, God is looking at us when it comes to his children and his assets. See, all authority comes from God. Therefore, it has to be given. It has to be given. I was telling my wife recently, and our kids aren't old enough to drive yet, and James is 14, so I let him drive down the driveway. But I told my wife one day, because we've always said we would get our children a lime green minivan to share. Lime green minivan. Nobody shows out at a red light in a lime green minivan. Easily spot, so if anybody in the city sees a lime green minivan, they know that's the pastor's kids. We've been talking about that since before we had kids. Now, recently I told Christy, I said, you know what? Maybe the kids don't get vehicles at all. They just use ours if they are honorable. You get to borrow my truck. If you are not honorable, you lose the chance to drive my truck. They're all sad right here on the front row, like, oh, Jesus. And we have an altar call for my father right now. The point I'm making is when you have a vehicle, a home, money, assets, your children, when you put someone in charge over it, that is a delegation of authority. The same is true with God. Everything is under his authority, but he's not going to put you over anything when you're not under him. Oh, that's good. God can't put you over anything when you're not under him. Would you put someone over your children if they would not come under you? Why'd y'all get so quiet on that point right there? No, I don't want to put my children under someone's power who's not operating under my authority as their father. okay? God is looking at it the same way. So watch this, church. Let's take inventory. If there are areas of our life that are not under God's authority, he can't bless that area. Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with thy substance, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Say that with me out loud. Honor the Lord with thy substance, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. What's he saying? He's saying, if you let me speak into your life when it comes to your finances, then you'll multiply. But if you won't let me have authority over your stuff, then I can't bless your stuff because you wouldn't bring it unto me. The area of your life you won't give God is the area of your life he can't give you. Watch this in 1 Samuel chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2, let's drop down. I want to show you a perfect picture of this. This whole thing we're talking about here. Because prayerfully, we're going to say, okay, man, I can't be having this area of my life out from under the plan and purpose of God, because then I won't have his blessing on it. Watch this. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy fathers should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. I was going to give you something. I was going to bless you. But now I can't do it. Read the rest. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. He said, if you'll honor me, I'll honor you. But if you're not going to honor me, I'm not going to honor you. There are things under God's authority that he can place in your life, but he won't when you don't honor him. I want my life in every aspect of my life to be in a place that God can bless. Now, watch this here in Mark chapter 6, because what we just read is where the Lord said through his word, where, because you have not honored me, I cannot honor you. Because you have not honored me, I cannot honor you. See, my wife wrote this one day, and I thought it was brilliant. You know, a culture is established by what is disciplined and what is celebrated. So watch this. We as parents should say, okay, as you honor authority and as you honor God, you set yourself up to receive. But when you are dishonorable, you set yourself up to lose. See, if we honor our children with rights and benefits when they are dishonorable, we send them a mixed message that we didn't get from God. Because God doesn't honor us when we're dishonorable. Mark 6, verse number 5. Have you ever wanted to bless your kids, but you knew you couldn't? Man, I hope they get this right, because I really want to do this for them. And then they don't do it right. Like, man, you don't tell them, but in your heart, like, I can't do what I wanted to do, because they were dishonorable. Look at this word right here. Mark 6, verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work. Who? Jesus. Read that first statement out loud. And he could there do no mighty work. That's not a verse we memorize. I know two verses, Pastor, John 3:16 and Mark 6 and 5. No, you probably have never memorized Mark 6 and 5. Because it says here, there he could do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So there was a place that Jesus could not do a mighty work. I need to know why. Because can't Jesus do anything? Watch verse number 4. Well, let's go to verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without what? Honor. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. So Jesus said, y'all have given me no honor.
And because he got no honor, read the first part of verse 5 out loud again, and he could there do no mighty work. I don't want that be in my life, that he wanted to do a mighty work in my life, but he couldn't do a mighty work in my life because I wouldn't honor him with my life. Or there were areas of my life where I would not honor him, and because I would not honor him, he couldn't do something great in my life.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.